Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A little bit past the midway point of the show. Henry Lake, DJ, David Josephson. We make up Lake Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. We're about to dive into the South region when it comes to the NCAA brackets. And I do have a little bit of information that we're going to get into, but let's go ahead and dive into it. And to me, this region is really tough to try to figure out just because the number two seed is Tennessee, okay? Tennessee happens to be a program that I think a lot of people are high on. A lot of people believe that Tennessee is a team that could get to the Final Four. I am not as high on Tennessee as a lot of other people are. I believe that Tennessee is going to be in for a tussle if they face Cincinnati in the second round. Now, people will say, if. You don't think that Cincinnati is good enough to beat Iowa? Yeah, I think that they are. But like we say about the tournament and about these matchups, different styles make for different fights. That's just the way that the NCAA tournament is. And I think that Cincinnati is a rough and rugged team that could knock off Tennessee, and that would be a big upset to a lot of people. A lot of people's brackets would be ruined if Tennessee was out in the first weekend. I didn't have them going out in the first weekend, but I do have them not getting to the Final Four because I do think that Virginia is the class of that region. But this is the ultimate problem that I have. How many years have we sat here and talked about Virginia? This is the year. Virginia's going to get it done. Virginia's legitimate. Seems like every year for like the last 5 years we said that about Virginia. Virginia's the one seed that has lost to a 16. And now they're going to bounce all the way back and go to the Final Four. I'm going to say this right now to you, DJ. If Virginia gets bounced early this year, I'm done with them forever. Tony Bennett, I'm done with you. Don't let the people down this year. People have bought into Virginia this year. I am even buying into Virginia. You lose and screw this up this year, I'm done with you, man. I'm done with you.
Virginia's first big test could come in the Sweet 16 against Wisconsin. There's a possibility that happens.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I do want to mention this because this is big news when it comes to your brackets. So you could say that your boy is a little bit familiar with Kansas State basketball. I'm familiar with K-State, Kansas basketball. K-State has a good team. But one of their star players, it sounds like, could be done entirely. Okay? This tweet from Tom Martin from KCTV5 out of Kansas City, hearing there's a good chance Dean Wade's career at K-State is over. Source, I would be very surprised if he played again this season. Coach Bruce Weber spoke to reporters this morning and said he would know more after Wade's evaluation this afternoon. We'll see what the school says. Stinks to see Wade go through this in back-to-back tournaments, especially in his senior year. That is for anybody out there listening to the show that's filling out a bracket, Kansas State, if they have a healthy Dean Wade, this is a team that could get back to the Elite Eight. Last year, they got to the Elite Eight, and they didn't get Dean Wade back until late in the tournament. It sounds like the same problematic foot or whatever the injury is could keep him out for the entire tournament this time, and I'm just not sure if they're going to be able to go on that phenomenal run like they went on last year. Remember, K-State was a game away, one win away from going to the Final Four. This year, they will potentially meet Virginia in the Sweet 16. And without Dean Wade, I just think that's too tough of a task to try to overcome that. So as much as I like to say that K-State's going to win and get to the Elite Eight, I actually do have them going to the Sweet 16. I might have to amend that, though, because with no Dean Wade, that's a massive blow. Barry Brown Jr. and Cartier Jarrah and those guys are really good. They're good players, and they played well. But without Dean Wade, that's it's not looking good. The other institution that I think people will look at, I think everybody believes is a down year. But why do I feel like for some reason they're going to be sneaky good once they get into this? Well, now they're in the tournament. Villanova. They're the reigning defending national champions, right? Until they are defeated, they still hold the crown. They're still the champs. So I think the Villanova is going to get into the Sweet 16, and then potentially they would have a matchup with Tennessee. And I'm not sure that Villanova is good enough this year to defeat a team like Tennessee. Although, like I said before, I'm not exactly sold on Tennessee. They do have a really good front court. I think that their perimeter game can be a little bit shaky. But it's probably going to end up being Virginia versus Tennessee to see who goes to the Final Four. And in that particular situation, I have Virginia. But we talked about this last week, though, DJ. Remember how we talked about this? Virginia screwed up everybody's bracket last year. The first time a number one seed lost to a 16 seed. Better not happen this year. Or else I'm done with Coach Bennett. Their opponent this year, the 16 seed that they're playing, Gardner-Webb.
Virginia was the first, the number one overall seed in the whole tournament last year, I think, weren't they?
Yes. Yes.
And they bow out.
And got bounced.
Early.
First game. That's just miserable. And I know that there are some people that asked me a little bit earlier, what do you think of Wisconsin? I think that Mike Maxx is one of them. I don't think much of Wisconsin's team this year, and I'm not saying that in a disrespectful way. I just don't think that they can go far. Like, I think that they are a team that's capable of winning a game or possibly two? Yes. They also possibly could get bounced in the first round. Oregon's one of the hottest teams in the country. Oregon got hot at the end of the year, and I think Oregon's won their last eight games. So they have like an eight-game winning streak. So, yeah, it's possible that Wisconsin, could find themselves in the Sweet 16. They also could find themselves back in Madison after their opening round game. So we'll see what happens with the Badgers. But Cincinnati, that's a sneaky team right there. I don't think much of Purdue. I know that Mike Maxx had mentioned that he likes Purdue. As a basketball team, he believes that they could create some chaos for a team like Virginia. I don't like the fact that Purdue, they have to have Carson Edwards be the man every single game. And as much as I like what he brings to the table, and he's a good, nice, solid point guard, he is not talented enough to carry a team to a Final Four. Carson Edwards, we saw what the Gophers did against him this year. He shot miserably the entire year. In all three matchups against the Golden Gophers, he did not have his A game. So I just don't see it with Purdue this year. But I do see that Virginia is the team that a lot of people are saying is going to bounce back and right the ship. We'll see if they do. I will absolutely be paying attention to that. All right, coming up next, though, there's going to be more NCAA talk, but we're going to take a closer look at the Gophers' opponent, Louisville. And yes, there's a storyline that everybody wants to talk about. We'll get to that next. All right, welcome back to Late Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. I hope that everything, and I mean this in all sincerity, I hope that everything is okay with former NFL linebacker Tamba Hali, a former member of the Kansas City Chiefs. He's tweeting right now, and I don't know what's going on, and people are kind of concerned for his safety because his some of the stuff isn't making sense. I know that he's very into church and on his Christian faith in terms of his beliefs, but I don't. It's just gibberish. What's going on his Twitter account? And he's got like some videos that he's putting up and talking about people physically attacking him, and then it's kind of weird. So I'm you know what? I'm sitting here and I'm hoping the best for Tamba. His last tweet 10 minutes ago to all the fans who keep telling me to get help. I have Jesus Christ as the ultimate help. I pray Jesus Christ reveals himself to everyone denouncing him in your life. The blood of Jesus Christ covering is upon my home, my life, my children, so no weapon formed is penetrating here. Sometimes when people utilize their Twitter accounts, some of the things just kind of come across as odd. It's not odd to believe in God. It's not odd to believe in, you know, in Jesus and all that. It's odd sometimes the way that people tweet and what they're tweeting about. I don't know. It's just kind of an odd deal here. So I'm hoping the best for him because he has had situations before. The reason why I bring this up, he's had situations before, like on Facebook and on Twitter, where he was standing up for Joe Paterno. And it was just really, really odd at the time a couple of years ago. So I'm wishing the best for Tom because I met him before, not hung out with him, but had a chance to hang out with him on the radio a couple of times. And a good dude and a good God-fearing man. But let's talk about Golden Gopher basketball. That was kind of a weird transition, wasn't it? I'm talking about Tamba Hali, and then I said, let's go back to the Gophers. Let's talk about something more timely. The Gophers have this matchup against Louisville, and I think the big thing that a lot of people thought about the moment that the brackets were revealed in the matchups we saw had Louisville facing Minnesota, I immediately started to think about, this is interesting. We have Richard Pitino, who was formerly an assistant at Louisville, facing his old program that he was a part of and his father's old program because his father took Louisville to a national championship. So how does this play out? Like, is this one of the storylines that everybody's intrigued by? I knew it immediately when the brackets came out. I said, this is definitely one of... People can sit here, and I saw some people on Twitter yesterday saying, no. The NCAA selection committee isn't trying to put these matchups together for storylines. I'm not buying that for one second. Use a damn life you're trying to sell it to anybody. I'm not buying that. Yes, the NCAA selection committee, and we all love storylines. And this is an obvious storyline. So that you can try to sell that to someone else. Don't sell it to me because I believe, yes, they wanted to sell the storyline of Pitino facing Louisville. Because when you start looking at all of this stuff, there's a lot of different storylines you can come out with. You can come out with that storyline, okay? Richard Pitino versus Louisville. Also, second round, if Duke's going to win, if they face VCU, that could be a rematch of years ago when VCU bounced. Remember when VCU was taking the next step and they bounced Duke out of the tournament? That would be a rematch. How about the fact that if you look at Murray State and Marquette, two of the top point guards in the country, facing each other? I don't think that was just, okay, no, it's just going to happen that way. No, you want it to happen that way. Of course we want to see the Howard Morant matchup. Any other storylines that we want to see? If I look across the tournament, storylines. Tennessee, Cincinnati, not necessarily. Purdue, Villanova, no, not really. Virginia? Well, Virginia's storyline is up because they lost as a number one overall seed last year. So we don't have to worry about that. I mean, think about this side of the bracket, though. We could have in the semifinals, the national semifinals, a rematch of the Maui Classic, the Maui Invitational, Duke versus Gonzaga. Gonzaga, the team that beat Duke when they are 100% healthy. Love that rematch. Virginia, Kentucky, there's no real storyline there to just be a good matchup if they both made it to the semifinals. How about the fact of LSU's a storyline, but it's not even because of who they face. It's because of all the stuff surrounding their coach. Remember we talked a couple of days ago about their coach, Will Wade, who said he wanted to coach anyway, but he didn't want to talk to the school about what was going on, about being on the wiretap. You're not going to talk to your employer about being on a wiretap, allegedly giving away money to a recruit, but you want to coach anyway. It doesn't work like that. So, yeah, I definitely believe that there was some conversation when it comes to Louisville versus Minnesota and that being a storyline. And we like storylines. We love this stuff. We eat this stuff up. There's articles in the paper about it. Okay, it's going to be something that will be highlighted on the game during the broadcast on Thursday morning. If there's a way that Rick Pitino can be in Des Moines and behind the bench, rocking maroon and gold, he'll be there. Now, I know that he's had this deal with the him coaching over in Greece. I wonder if that's up. I need to look that up and see if that's still a thing, because if he's available, you know he's on the first thing smoking. Oh, he's not going to be able to be there. Just looked it up. Rick Pitino reportedly won't attend Louisville versus Minnesota in the NCAA tournament. That's a bummer. That's what I wanted.
We needed the live cutaway to him watching the game.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody wanted that. Oh, gosh. He's not going to make it for the Thursday afternoon game because he has a game. His team over in Greece, they've got a game scheduled for Wednesday night. Gosh. Oh, I wanted to see that so bad, DJ. I really did, man. That would have made for great television.
It's all about the drama.
Talk about the previous transgressions at Louisville, the lawsuit, everything. The little encounter in the restaurant. I shouldn't bring that up. I'm going to leave that alone. But yeah, no, that's definitely one of the other things. It will still be talked about, though. Even though he will not be at the game, it will still be something that will be talked about when they cut to Richard Pitino and him facing his former program and his dad's former program that he led to a national championship in Louisville. So I'm looking forward to that come Thursday. In 60 seconds on News Talk 830 WCCO. Current weather, 33 degrees outside. Weather brought to you by APA Medical. Back here on Lake Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. I'm happy to see that this is being addressed with minor league baseball and just baseball in general. But it's still frustrating to see a lot of the players having to go through this. I saw this headline, and this has been something that people have been having conversations about for the last couple of years, about the pay of minor league baseball players, okay? And the headline is, according to NBC Sports, it says, Blue Jays, the Toronto Blue Jays, their organization to raise minor league pay by 50%. 50%. That's pretty good. That's a nice raise.
I take that raise.
That's a nice raise. But the issue is, and this was reported by the Athletic, phenomenal outlet, some of the best reporters out there, is that for the longest time, though, minor league players have really been getting the short end of the stick. Like, they are expected to put in so much work and so much time that they are woefully underpaid and have been for a long time. And according to the article, it says they've been underpaid for years, making less than minimum wage, getting no overtime despite working long hours and being forced into a manner of unpaid training. So there were some lawsuits, right, were filed against Major League Baseball for violating federal labor laws. I'm glad that there is one team out there that's saying, you know what, we need to increase the pay of our minor league players. Because what happens then? It forces the other teams in Major League Baseball to step up. Because once one does it, then others have to start looking. You know what? We need to start treating our players a lot better. Now, a lot of fans haven't been aware of all of this, but it's a thing. And we've seen articles about it the last couple of years. And according to this article today, it says, at the moment, single-A players make around $1,100 a month. Okay? Triple-A players around $2,100 to $2,500 a month and are not paid for the off-season. Okay? Now, this is where that becomes problematic. They're paid $2,100, this is for Triple-A players, around $2,100 to $2,500 a month and are not paid for the off-season, but that's when they train, and they have to attend certain events, and they have to attend spring training as well, where attendance is mandatory. So a 50% raise is a good bump, but there's still some work that they have to do. Okay, they still have to do a lot more work in terms of making the pay equitable for these players. Okay. I want to see other teams out there go and step up the same way that the Toronto Blue Jays have done and give a little bit more money to their minor league players. And so, you know, Mark Shapiro says in the article that he hopes that other teams follow suit. And I really do hope that they will. And I think there are a lot of organizations out there. There's a lot of good people in Major League Baseball. And I think that we're blessed to have a lot of awesome people that work with the Minnesota Twins. And one of my favorite people in town is Dave St. Peter. Awesome guy. I just hope that a lot of the other teams in Major League Baseball, and quite frankly, I think that all of the teams in Major League Baseball, I hope that they step up to the plate and pay the minor league players a little bit more money. Now, I'm not saying that every team out there is going to step up and give a 50% raise. I don't know that to be the case, but raise it up some more. Every little bit counts. So props to the Toronto Blue Jays, though. This is awesome. Good work by The Athletic reporting this, picked up by NBC Sports, and it's out there. So the Toronto Blue Jays, the first Major League Baseball team to say that they're going to raise the pay for minor league baseball players. I am surprised, though, that because the way that they view it or have viewed it is these players as seasonal workers. Is that realistic to think, though? Baseball players, I mean, they essentially have to play year-round. They're not really seasonal workers. Like, that's kind of hard to say that they are. You got to stay in shape. You got to train. You know, you look at the NFL. These guys get workout bonuses. You know, you can see it right there, plain as day in their contracts. Go to SpotTrack. You can look it up. They should do more.
I'd be curious to know what some of the journeyman minor league players really get picked. I'm sure that there's some fluctuation in the pay. You quoted some of the prices, but I'm sure across the league and per team, there's some fluctuation. And
this is not taking into account, Dave, too. Those prospects that get those signing bonuses,
yep, yep,
and all of that. We're talking more so about the guys that really didn't. They're not the first round picks, so the high draft picks.
Well, and those are the players that I have, I guess, less compassionate for. If you're a top prospect, you get a signing bonus. You're in the minor leagues for a year or two or three, and then you're signing your big payday in the majors. I don't have a problem with that. So you got to live in an apartment, and you know. Make a little less money for a while.
Yeah, because they got money up front. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got money up front, and you know you got, you know, a good chance at a big payday coming. I guess I wonder more about the guy who is going to play in the minor leagues for 10 years.
Yes, he's got the dream.
Maybe he's going to get a cup of coffee with a couple of teams throughout his career. And what is he really making? And let's make sure that that guy who is, you know, 32 or whatever, and he's still hoping to get his chance.
Trying to provide for his family.
Trying to provide for family and kids. And let's make sure that he has a living wage, whatever that looks like for him, based on the amount of time he's required to put towards this organization. I'm all in on that. The guy that's got the $1 million signing bonus isn't a
You're not worried about that guy.
Play for the Yankees. Yeah, don't care about him as much.
You're not worried about him.
Yeah,
you're not worried about him because he's got money. Okay, and he can sit on that money for a little while, and he doesn't have to worry about, you know, the everyday, like, living check to check.
Yeah.
He's not worried about that. Yeah. Plus, when he gets to the bigs, and if he produces, then he'll, you know, get his arbitration, all that stuff, whatever, and then maximize that monster contract once he gets to free agency.
Yeah. But a lot of these guys are playing day in and day out, and they're not ever going to make life-changing money. But I agree with you, and as well as any other industry in the world. But, yeah, let's make sure that people get paid a wage that they can live on.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm all for fairness, and I'm always going to advocate for somebody getting a little bit more when you see the numbers the way that they are. And you're like, $1,100 for some players, that you can't realistically live off
no,
of that.
No.
Like, I think the highest rent in the country right now is San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way.
No.
You could be part of the Giants organization at the lower and think that you know what I'm saying? And I get it. I get it. You're not living necessarily right in San Francisco. I understand that. But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
$1,100. I mean, that's hard.
Well, and most
pieces together.
Most of these minor leaguers are living in, you know, second or third tier markets. They're not living in the city where their team is, where the major league squad is. So hopefully the cost of living in some of those places is a little lower. But yeah, let's give these people, especially when the guys at the top are making, you know, record-breaking $300 million contracts, let's make sure the guys at the bottom that are needed for this whole industry, this whole MLB thing to work the way it's designed with, you know, all the levels of minor league baseball, let's make sure that all those people are taken care of.
I'm with you. Oh, this is sad. A little bit of sad news here. Nobody died. Nobody passed away. And I never really watched the show, but I was rooting for her because she wanted to lose weight and all this other stuff. You see the story about Mama June?
No.
Mama June has been she's been arrested for possession of a controlled substance and drug paraphernalia last week. Oh, boy. Mama June. Did you ever watch that? What was the name of the show? Was it Honey Boo Boo? Was there what they called her daughter? You know, you used to love that show. That was your show back in the day. Come on now.
I've
used to DVR that every time it was coming on. Mama June, come on now. Honey Boo Boo, I feel sorry for you. My goodness. I'm rooting for people, man. That's unfortunate. Anyway, moving on to other matters. We got today's top headlines. According to David Josephson, we get to that coming up next year on Lake Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. See, I knew there were some Honey Boo Boo fans out there. I mean, some of them are close to DJ here. You're receiving texts about Honey Boo Boo. I knew that was your favorite show back in the day, man. You know, when I was growing up, it was like Different Strokes, Three's Company. What else I used to watch? Oh my gosh, I'm blanking.
I've never seen a second of
Cosby Show back
Honey
before
Boo Boo.
Cosby Show before we knew he's a a rapist. But A Different World, that was one of my favorites. Come on, you're all about Honey Boo Boo, man. I just found. I'm gonna have to get you like the box set, the DVD for like Christmas.
Oh yeah, I can't wait for that. No, I'm not a fan. Now that she's implicated with some drug abuse, I think I'm out.
Yeah,
I was in before.
That's unfortunate, man.
Yeah, it's not good.
Let's get her back on track, though. Let's get her back on track. All right, thanks for listening to Lake Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. It's time for today's top headlines. And it's typically what this segment is we do it each night. DJ. He's scouring all the different news stories. And there's a mix and match of, like, stuff with local ties, national stories, just some interesting things. It doesn't necessarily have to be in the world of sports. It doesn't have to necessarily be about any particular thing. But it's just something intriguing to you.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, I make a point of making them outside of the world of sports.
Yep.
We talk a lot of sports on this show.
Yep.
We'll continue to do that. Timberwolves, Twins, after every game. But we do like to venture outside of the world of sports, as you know, if you've listened to the show.
And talk about what people are talking about.
Exactly. So we'll do that every night. And tonight, one of the top headlines that has been making news for the last week is the news about the Boeing 737 MAX jet that has been pulled from the skies for everywhere in the world, if not very close to that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually a local Minnesota connection, a local company, it looks like, made the sensors that are being blamed for the crashes in these. And it's still an open investigation, but Rosemount Aerospace is a company in Burnsville. They employ over 1,600 people, and it looks like they made the sensor that may have led to the crash of the Lion Air flight that killed 189 people last week. It's unclear about the other flight that killed 157 people. You know, they're looking into it, but mm-hmm. it may have been the same sensor. And credit to Rosemount, their parent group, you know, Rosemount United Technologies Corporation. They're taking credit for their sensors that they put out, and you know, it's an ongoing investigation, but at least they're taking some responsibility for it.
This is a very tragic situation. It's a very scary situation, and I'm glad that the airplanes are grounded all across the world, because we don't need any more. Look, we want to prevent tragedies, and just the thought of another one of those planes going up in the sky carrying innocent people and another tragic, you know, flight goes down. We don't need that. So until we get all this stuff figured out, just ground those planes and let's figure out what the heck is going on. But with that, yeah, there is a local tie here. We hope that this particular center is not totally to blame, or is the massive. But regardless of what's going on, I am glad that the parent company did step up and say, yes, we take responsibility. We are the sensors that are in these planes. But we just got to get to the bottom of what's going on. We really do. That's the bottom line right here. And it's very unfortunate that we're talking about over 350 people that have essentially, it looks like about a little bit right around 350 people have lost their lives, mm-hmm. maybe a little bit under. But yeah, these tragedies, enough already. We got to get it figured out. We got to figure out what the heck is bringing these planes down, because two of those big, massive flights going down in 5 months. Something's way off here.
Yeah, and it seems like they will. There's things in process, and I think they will get to the bottom of those.
Mm-hmm.
On a lighter note, hey, I don't know what you did for St. Patrick's Day, but
I watched the brackets.
A lot of people, 35,000 people, watched the St. Patrick's Day parade, the 53rd annual St. Patrick's Day parade, and it was just a fantastic day for this parade. And that's just one of many things that happened around Minnesota and around the country to celebrate a great St. Patrick's Day, and from everything I can tell, a safe one as well, which is also important.
I'm glad it was a safe one, and I hope that everybody made it home in good shape. But I know that yesterday, so I got up a little bit later yesterday. I was tired. I went and watched the Errol Spence Jr. Mikey Garcia fight.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so I was hanging out with Caleb Truex and some other friends, and we're sitting and we're watching the fight. And so my buddy dropped me off a little bit later. And so I woke up late yesterday, and I went, and the first thing I was going to do was go work out at Lifetime. So I was going down to Target Center, went to Target Center, got my workout. I was getting my workout in, right? But as I was parking my car, because I parked on the street, I'm walking down the street. Oh, my gosh. We're talking about people were, let's just say there were a lot of people hopefully Ubering yesterday. Because there were a few people I walked past that were out on their feet. I'm like, you okay, buddy? Say, buddy, say, guy. I'm like, okay. I'm looking at the gal. Is he good? Okay, you take care of him. I mean, there were people out on their feet. There's a lot of young drinking going on yesterday. Yeah. And I'm talking about people were torched up pretty much at like 1 or 2. We're not even talking about evening. We're talking about early.
Well, yeah, with a holiday on a Sunday, I'm sure people are, yeah. You know, they're getting their weekend started early and then maybe...
their day drinking in.
Cutting it off by 6 o'clock Sunday evening, hopefully.
You
so
think?
You can get to work today.
I'm with you. But yeah, no, happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody out there. What'd you do? Because I went to the gym, and then as soon as I got done with my workout, I sat there right there in the lobby, watched the brackets, and I bolted.
Yeah, yeah. Man, we had a really chill day. I was out with family late on Saturday night. Didn't get home till well after midnight, and then Sunday was the chill day for almost the entire day. So it was a good. I guess I didn't partake in any festivities, but it was a good day just to relax on Sunday. So
I got you.
It's all good. Hey, this is another story that caught my eye in the business world. Penn Cycle has been around the Twin Cities with 6 stores for 61 years. They opened their first location in Richfield in 1957.
And I've never been in, but clearly being from here, you know about it.
Oh yeah, it's a legendary
institution,
cycling store, and they announced over the weekend that they're closing. And just hours ago at 8 p.m., they closed their doors for the last time. They will reopen. It looks like they're merging or have a partnership with a different cycling company that will take over. But Penn Cycle is done. It's over.
That's, man. I mean, they were in business 61 years as Penn Cycle, shut their doors tonight, like you mentioned, and is going to reopen, it sounds like, on Friday under new ownership. And it sounds like the new name is going to be Free Will Bike. So, but yeah, no, when you said immediately, when you brought up this story, Penn Cycle, I'm like, yeah, everybody knows about Penn Cycle. I'm not somebody that's into cycling per se, but of course you know the name. That's a historic name here in this town.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
And one other good note is it sounds like the employees, at least most of them, will be given an opportunity to work for Free Will Bike. So there won't be a huge loss of jobs or anything like that, which is good
news.
Good
that news, is so. Absolutely good news.
In the minute we have left, you know, one of the stories we covered when we were on air on Friday was the attacks at 2 mosques in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of different stories about this over the weekend. The kind of the newest thing there is that the Prime Minister of New Zealand is promising to enact tighter gun laws in 10 days. They're hoping to get this done real quick.
Yeah, the... I would look, I'm somebody that believes in the right to bear arms. There's no question about that. But when we have lives that are innocently lost and so senseless, I absolutely am about being an advocate for figuring out how we can do better by all citizens. And if that means getting a tight hold of what we're doing and maybe maybe putting some restrictions on gun ownership, then maybe we need to look at that. All right, coming up next here at the top of the hour, we look at the final region when it comes to the NCAA bracket, the Midwest region. Then after that, before we're out of here, maybe I'll give you my Final Four. We'll do that on late night here on News Talk 830 WCCO.